The nature of spiritual direction, I think, is not very much explored. And I think people who get into that area have a far better grasp on... See, I really am primarily not known as an exorcist. I don't mind having my name out there as an exorcist, but I don't think I'm primarily known as an exorcist. Mm-hmm. I think probably my basic authority is a parish priest. You know, I'm rooted in this teaching and preaching of the gospel and offering mass and hearing confessions. You know, this is my profession. Part of that is, and also going with it is, I guess the central power that I have is to offer mass for people, to give them the body and blood of Christ, to hear their confessions, to heal them of their sinfulness, and to bring healing to the sick. I have tremendous power of healing. So this authority that I have is not primarily to roll back the darkness, but to be an instrument of light. You know, I don't see myself as engaged in shoveling out the darkness. I really believe it's primarily really, you know, being a source of light and love. And that's why I think more than anything, I would like to be known as someone who is in love with God and in love with people.
Do we give too much credit to the devil? Do we give him too much attention?
I think when, if wrong kind of attention, I think when we finally do give him the attention, it's the bizarre, and you know, like he has some kind of power which he doesn't have. He's a creature of God, and God is always in command of Satan. He's always presented as like when he comes on the scene, it's like a battle of equals. That's not it at all. I mean, he's a creature of God, and God always destroys Satan. God always overcomes. There's no question of the outcome of the battle. So I think he's made to look that way at times. That like there's this tug, and he somehow, you might think at times that darkness wins and the devil overcomes God. There's a very beautiful expression that Archbishop Sheen used to use about the crucifixion, and that was the triumph of failure. Jesus apparently failed. You know, the devil had his way. He crucified the Son of God. And then the resurrection. So that the mistake that the devil made was to kill Jesus. Because that was really what freed the world, was the resurrection. So he was defeated. Death was overcome. Sin was overcome. And the devil was crushed by the suffering and death of Jesus Christ on the cross.
The biggest enemy to the devil would be a woman. It would be Our Lady, the one who is able just to crush him with her heel.
And that's that. I think the heel is the lowliest part of the body. I remember that child who told me that, and why Our Lady was used, because she was the lowliest. That we are all the body of Christ. And Mary was the heel, the lowliest. And because she was the lowliest, she could crush his proud head. That was such that little child told me that. I never read that before till she told it to me. But what I see against Satan is the cross. That one of the great powers that I have and you have is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. When Jesus suffered and died on the cross, that was where the devil thought he really destroyed Jesus. He killed him. And so the cross has become the symbol and the sign of how Jesus crushed the devil. And in dying, and actually took his death, where the side was pierced, the heart of Jesus was pierced on the cross. He was dead. And out of his side came water, that flow of water that grows over the whole world, which is baptism, and the flow of blood, which is the Eucharist. And the baptized people of God, who we are, have this power now. Out of his side came the church. We are the body of Christ. And today, this power is flowing right from his side now. And so when I make the sign of the cross and say the name of Jesus by the sign of the cross and in the name of Jesus, that's such a power against Satan. I can bind him, I silence him, I chain him, and that's the end of him. That's the end of that particular devil forever. By the sign of the cross and in the name of Jesus, I bind you, I chain you, and I silence you. And never again can you harass, obsess, or oppress God's child. Never. And that demon must obey that command. And that's rendered completely useless. And never again will they be ever again able to oppress or obsess God's child.
What do we do to invite another one back in? Then what is the next step? I mean, we take that authority, we pray that beautiful prayer that you offered us. What do we do then so we don't fall into that same temptation or that trap?
The person, that particular demon, is silenced and not able to harass, obsess, or oppress. But then a future encounter then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hopefully we will follow that particular prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We ask God our Father to protect us from that. But when a person opens herself or himself to sin, that's when we get tripped. And because we are given free will, there is no one who cannot sin in that sense, that the opportunity and the invitation to fall is always there. The only one who never sinned was Mary, and the only one who completely was free of sin was Jesus. Now, what I on the deepest instruction that you have when you are freed from sin and forgiven your sins, when you are making an act of contrition and asking God to assist you in the future, I don't rely on my own strength. In me is now Jesus, who is the only one who never sinned. So from now on, what I tell God is, I am not going to rely on my own strength, but by the power and the grace of Jesus Christ, who is within me. So now, the one who is going to resist the temptation and meet whatever temptations are there are Christ who dwells within me. I am powerless. He is all powerful. And so and as Paul says, I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. So I have put to death that flesh, that spirit in me of independence. That is that old I. And I have taken on through baptism, through my confirmation, through my union with Jesus Christ, this new life. So I'm not doing that. The life of virtue, and without him and without his power, I can't do that. That's the life of grace. So only Jesus can live that life. I can't. So I think that's something very important, especially in when you confess your sin and make an act of contrition. Only by the power and the grace of God will I live now. I live now, not I, but Christ lives in me.
So the person who comes upon a familiar or an old temptation, to immediately go to prayer, to immediately in that moment to call upon Christ. And
excellent.
That's
exactly it. I don't fight the devil. I don't fight the temptation because I have no power against Satan. I have no power. There's no one who has been able to do that except Jesus. Why should I do it when Christ, who is in me, is able to overcome and has the power? So presented with and the temptation, I'm going to hate that person, and that person's face comes up again with me, and I am going to again be embittered and angry with that person who has caused me so much grief. I can't do that, God. You have to give me the love for that person because I'm going to fail. All the temptation that I've had with regard to pornography, I can't do that, Lord. You do that by that power that is within me. What does the AA person do when presented with the old brokenness of his addiction? I am powerless. I can't. But you can. You are my higher power. I turn this over to you. My sobriety is not because I have done it, but rather he who was in me, my higher power, has allowed me to have this 24 hours of sobriety. You remain in the now, and you remain in that constant turning over to this higher power, to Jesus, what I can't do. He who is within me is the power, not me. I can't, he can't. I turn it over to him. And then I can never be overcome by the evil.
What do you want to talk
about? I think I would say, especially with the struggle between grace and sin, between light and darkness, no matter what those temptations come, for riches and honor against being in union with God, you know, whatever that might be that we're struggling with. I live, no, not I, Galatians 2, but Christ lives in me. He who is in me has all the power and authority. And so if I can live each and every day in Christ, with Christ, and through Christ, my life becomes a witness of that light. I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. The struggle then against sin and Satan and death becomes Christ's victory over sin and Satan and death. When we meet people like Mother Teresa, who are such lights to the world, when we meet people like Padre Pio, who is like a walking crucifix, bleeding hands and feet inside, witnessing to the power that lies within them, and that each and every person can have that same effect of witnessing Christ through their small, ordinary, daily acts of love.